Welcome to all whom we have with us. We do have visitors with us today, and we are glad that you are with us. We do want to invite you to come back at every opportunity that you have while you are in the area. We invite you to stay around for a few moments following the services that we may get to know you a little better, and you may get to know us a little bit better as well. And as always, we are grateful that you have taken the time to be with us, and it is our hope that our time together will bring glory to God, that He will be pleased with what is said and the way that we worship Him. We strive to follow His pattern in all that we do. And of course, if you have questions about something that you observe in the way that we worship Him, or even something that I say in my lesson this morning, feel free to come to me following the services, and I will strive to give you an answer according to God's Word for these things. And if we cannot give something quick, maybe arrangements can be made for a further study if that is what is desired. This year, we have been engaged in a study, a very extensive study dealing with the subject of shining as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In other words, we've devoted this entire year to a study of our need to be a proper example. And we've dealt with a number of different things as we've gone through this particular study. We spent several weeks, a couple of months, addressing the importance of being a good example, looking at good examples and not so good examples recorded throughout scriptures, examples that are worthy of imitation and such. We've talked about what light is, and we've talked about what darkness is, the darkness in which we are to be letting our light shining. And so we spent some time with that. And then we spent another considerable length of time in our study dealing with the need to be examples in every area of our lives. And we've broken that down into two different categories. We talked about how everything that we do, you know, for example, the way that we take care of ourselves physically, the way that we take care of our finances, what we do when we're on the internet and social media and those types of things, all those different types of things. And then we also talked about how within our families we have responsibilities to let our light shine. We have our responsibility to let our light shine in every relationship that we are in, whether it be our work relationship, the way that we treat each other as brethren, and so on and so forth. And quite honestly, I've run out of time because I could have done said a whole lot more about a lot of these things. But time's running out, so we are now dealing with the third section of our study, and that is we want to talk about what it means to shine as lights. What are some things that we can do to help our light shine? And in reality, the lesson that we dealt with last week actually fits into this category, or 2 weeks ago, where we talked about the idea of holiness and how we need to be holy. And of course, I do want to say that just kind of reminded me. I want to thank Frank and Jerry for filling in for me last week while I was not here. It's always good, even in a congregation of this size, to know that if I need to go somewhere, there are those who are ready to step up and stand in and take care of that which is necessary. And I know you received some good lessons from them in the process of the studies, but it is good to be back and to deal with these particular things. Now, for the remainder of the year, and this is going to involve four or five lessons, I am going to be dealing with this idea of shining as lights. And what I want to talk about today is our need to serve others and what is involved in that. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to engage in a lesson that is dealing with some attitudes that basically turn people off, that drive people away. And I'm going to follow that with a lesson where we're going to talk about attitudes that give us opportunities to teach others and attitudes with which we can win others. And then we're going to do a lesson where we are going to be dealing with our need to be reaching the lost. And of course, we're going to conclude this study at the end of this year with basically, why are we doing this? And basically, we're talking about our view toward eternity, which is really what it is about. And so that's going to be the remainder of this particular study. And there's a lot of subjects that I would like to deal with that time just simply will not permit as we conclude our theme for this year. Talking about trusting God and courage and proper judging and the way that we use our tongue and various things like that. But we can deal with those on other occasions, and we will. But today, let's get to the subject at hand. As we let our light shine, one of the best ways that you can do that is by being a servant. By serving other individuals. As a matter of fact, I would say that this is fundamental. You know, last week talking about living a holy life, that's who you are. Serving others is also who you are, but it's how you deal with other individuals, how you interact with them. And one of the things that we learn in Scripture is that God expects us to serve. God expects us to be servants. As I've said on many occasions, and I've heard it said, that when you look at your life as a Christian, it's not about you. And of course, I remember having somebody tell me many, many years ago that in reality, it's not just about you. Which is really the point that we need to consider. Over and over in Scripture, letting our light shine means we're doing something for somebody else. And that just needs to be very primary, very fundamental in our lives as Christians. So we want to talk about service. And what exactly do we mean when we talk about serving? Or what do we mean by the idea of service? Well, the word service, looking this word up according to the website dictionary.com, they define the word serve as the idea of the act of helpful activity. In other words, it's the idea of being helpful to others. And the word serve, which is associated with service, or the foundation of it, is given several definitions. And among those was the idea to act as a servant. You know, to be a servant toward others. And secondly, it is to be useful or of service to others. To help people. That's what we're talking about when we deal with the idea of serving. Biblically, that's what we're talking about. Helping others. Doing something for others. And quite often it is doing something for others without the intent of receiving something in return. When we talk about biblically, we're talking about being helpful toward others. When we talk about service and being a servant in the Bible, we're talking about serving, number one, God. And number two, others. And there's actually a passage of Scripture that kind of emphasizes that. You remember in Matthew 22 where Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the idea of that text is you serve God. How often in Scripture do we read about our need to serve God? Secondly, He said, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then He goes on, He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hinges on these. You love God and you love your neighbors. And as we've noted, if you take the Ten Commandments and you examine them, break them down, the first four commandments are about loving God with all your heart. The last six are about loving your neighbor, or the way you treat your neighbor. You serve others. So in that text, we're just reminded that that's what service is about. Now, another thing that we learn as Christians, though, is serving is more than just the idea of the mere act that you are engaged in when you're helping somebody else. It also involves a proper attitude. It involves the fact that we have a humility as we are dealing with others. It involves the fact that we're not selfish. We're not self-seeking. But rather we are thinking about other individuals as we are engaged in these things. We need to have a proper attitude. And when we serve others, it doesn't just need to be mere ritual. It needs to be from a heart. That's where it needs to be. Because we genuinely do care about others. We have an example of what it means to serve. We have the ultimate example of what it means to serve when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He did. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, and in verse number 28, we find there Jesus tells us that He came to serve. And the point that is made in that text is He says there, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That's the reason that our Lord came to this earth. He came in order to serve God the Father, as well as to serve man with what man actually needs. Over in Luke 22 and in verse number 27, Jesus there said, "For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves." He talks about, gives this parable about a master and a servant and how the servant takes care of his master before he takes care of himself. And Jesus said, "I'm not like the master. I've come to you as one who serves." So we look at the example of Jesus and we can see the very idea of service. Over in the book of Philippians, as Paul is talking about how we need to think about others, in verse 5 of Philippians 2, we read there, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, what I want you to notice in that text is Paul tells us, number one, we need to have the mind that our Lord had. And in this verse, he said he did not consider it robbery. Some versions use the term a seizure, and not the idea of the medical emergency, but the idea of taking something from somebody else, seizing something. Jesus said he did not consider it robbery or a seizure to be equal with God. Why? Because he is. Because he was equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he came to this earth taking the form of a king, taking the form of a ruler, you know, taking the form of a wealthy man who was in charge of everybody. It's not what it says, does it? It says he took the form of a bondservant, and he came to this earth in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of dying on a cross because you and I are guilty. We needed that. You don't find a greater example of service than looking at our Lord, Jesus Christ Himself. In many of the parables that He taught about the importance of serving others. Over in Matthew chapter 20, over in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 42, where you find there a faithful servant who does his master's will even while he is gone. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, again, you have servants who are entrusted with responsibilities while the master is on a journey, and when he returns, they're accountable. Jesus talked continually about servants and what is involved in being servants and how we are to learn from those examples. And Jesus did it. One of the greatest examples of service is found in John chapter 13. And we're not going to read that entire text, but what you have here in John chapter 13 is this is the night that Jesus will be betrayed, and putting this context together with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this very likely is at the same time when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And what we learn from some of the other accounts is one of the things that the disciples were doing on this occasion, like at other times, is they were arguing about who was the greatest, you know, or they were discussing it among themselves, trying to position themselves over the rest of the apostles. And here's Jesus as he sees them arguing, and you don't read anything about Jesus saying anything in John 13, but what it just says is he took a bowl of water and he started washing the disciples' feet, which if you understand anything about the culture back then, that was the job that was given to the lowliest of the servants in a household. You wash the feet of those who are visiting with you. And Jesus just starts washing their feet. And I can just see the picture as the picture of that scene where one by one he's washing their feet and I don't think there's a whole lot of talking going on. It's more like, what are you doing? You know, Peter even asks him, you know what? You don't do this. I need to be washing your feet. Why are you doing this to me? And Jesus says, you let me do this or you have no part with me. And of course, the point that Jesus was emphasizing in that is here, they were arguing about how great they were, and Jesus makes the point, trying to teach them what was going on. Notice beginning in verse 12 of John 13. When he had washed the feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And I want you to understand that Jesus is not teaching some type of a religious ritual here. He's making the point, I want you to serve. And that's the emphasis that he has there. In verse 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The point that Jesus is making is we need to be willing to serve. That's what life is about. And you know what? If it involves washing somebody's feet who has been walking down the road, and remember back then, that was just a part of when somebody was visiting, they came into a home, you know, dusty feet, they washed them so that they wouldn't track the dirt all in the house. It's the idea of that. And you're showing that you're going to serve somebody. So Jesus, he gives us this ultimate example by humiliating himself. And notice how he said in the text, I am your teacher. But yet look at what I've done. I want you to do the same thing. We learn from our Lord what it means to serve. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to let your light shine in society, if you want to let your light shine in this dark world, you serve. You be one who serves the way that God wants you to serve. And I'm going to tell you right now that we are called to serve. There are multitudes of passages that give us examples of this. Over in Romans chapter 6, in verses 17 and 18, we read in that particular text there, it says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And in the English, or in the Greek language, the words slave and servants are basically the same word. And Jesus, you became servants of righteousness. And that's what we are called to be. In Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse number 10, Paul there talks about how God created us. Among other things, he said, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created us for good works, to do good where others are concerned. Over in Titus chapter 2, and this should be verse 14. Titus chapter 2, and in verse number 14, Paul there tells young Titus, he makes the point that we are to be zealous for good works. He said, Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself for His own special people, zealous for good works, zealous to do good things. Over in Matthew 22, we won't read it again, but in verses 37 through 40, love God, love your neighbors. It means you're doing good, you're serving them as individuals. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, James gets very specific here as he deals with this. He says, what profit, my brethren, is it if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Well, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We show our faith to others. We have to demonstrate to others that we have faith in God, and you do that by the way that you treat them. If somebody has a need and you have the ability to help them with that need and you just send them on their way and ignore that, that's not good works. That's not serving others. James in this text is very much emphasizing that we demonstrate our faith by the way that we treat others. More on that in a little while. James chapter 1 and in verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And one of the things we've noted here, you know, Paul's describing pure and undefiled religion, and you look at the context, he's talking about Christians. Each and every one of us individually is Christians. And he says the way you do that is you visit orphans and widows. And understand the word visit there isn't something that just means knock on the door and hi, how you doing? Good to see you. It could involve that. But as you help them, you're helping them with whatever their need is. That's the idea of visiting orphans and widows, tending to their needs, serving them because they need something. The idea of that text. Over in Galatians chapter 5, and in verse number 13, and here we have a text where Paul is dealing with brethren that are biting and devouring each other, not treating each other properly. And among the things he says, you brethren have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Don't just think about yourself. Don't think about yourself. Think about others. You have been called to liberties. Don't take advantage of others, even if you have the ability to do something. That's the point there. Through love, you serve others. We are to serve one another. And again, over in Matthew chapter 25, you know, it's interesting. We have here a picture of the judgment. You know, in verses 14 through 30, here you have this parable about the talents. And the master returns and he demands an accounting for how the servants had managed that which they had been entrusted with. But then he gives this picture of the judgment scene and he describes the sheep and the goats being separated from one another. The sheep being the godly and the goats being the ungodly. And he speaks to the sheep. And he tells them, you enter into the joys of your Lord. And he says, because when I was, I'll just go ahead and read a little bit of this, Matthew 25, and in verse number 30, we'll start here in verse number 33, he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left, and the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. God's watching. Our Lord is watching to see how we treat others. To see whether or not we are serving. Because he actually continues. Verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Is it important that we serve others? I want you to note the result in verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal or everlasting life. Friends, it makes a difference. God is watching whether or not we serve each other. So I want us to understand that, as you can see, over and over, this is emphasized. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, one final verse, and then we'll move on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We read in this particular text here, Peter tells us, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Notice how he says that we are to minister to one another. You know what the idea of ministering is? Serving. We're serving others. That's the word that is used there. And he goes on and he describes us as stewards. You know what a steward was? A steward was a servant. A type of servant. A trusted servant. Usually a servant in charge of something. And so, again, Peter is saying that we are to be hospitable and we are to serve others. Can you see how this is something that is emphasized over and over in Scripture? And if we want to let our light shine, that's what we need to be doing. Okay, so somebody says, well, you've shown that we need to be serving one another, and hopefully nobody disagrees with that, but somebody asks how. And let's just give a few suggestions, and I'm not going to tell you everything here, but simply what it involves is, you know, do what you can do. But there are some things to give consideration to as you talk about serving others. Number one, realize that it's not always easy. You know, don't just do the things that are pleasant. It's easy to help somebody else when it's somebody you love. It's easy to help somebody else when, it's your family and it's something that's an enjoyable task that you're helping somebody with. That's the easy thing to do. But what about when it's not pleasant? What about when it's dealing with somebody that, let's just say, they don't have your best interest in mind? They don't care about you. You know, when you go over to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and we read there about our Lord, it says, "When we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ didn't just die for the wonderful. Christ didn't just die for those who were doing everything right. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. That includes you and me. And how many of us have kind of messed up and rebelled a little bit when it comes to serving God? You know, how many of us have not lived the way that we ought to, and we desperately need the blood of Christ because we've behaved ungodly? You know what? Jesus died for us too. And that's the point. And therein is where we have our hope. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about how we are to love others. And He made the point there toward the end of that text, or toward the end of that chapter, not the end of the sermon. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." You pray for your enemies. You do good for those who are misusing you. I want to tell you right now, it becomes a little more difficult to serve somebody when they're not your friend, or when they're mistreating you. You know, like Jesus had talked about a little bit, either earlier or later here, He'll talk about when somebody compels you to go a mile, go with them a second mile. You know, go a little further, even when it's a little bit inconvenient. How many of us are willing to serve others when it's not convenient? When it becomes difficult and it involves something that's unpleasant? When it involves us sacrificing and giving up time that we would like to be doing something else? That's when God takes note of it. So we need to understand, when we serve, it's even during the difficult times. Over in Romans 12, Paul talks about how you repay no one evil for evil, but you do good. And he gives the example of there, if your enemy's hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. You know what? Let God take care of the judging. You just serve. You just let your light shine before others. So, realize that when it comes to serving others, it's not always easy to do, and it's not only when it's easy and pleasant that we do it. But secondly, something else that we need to realize as we're serving others is we need to let our service be genuine. And what I mean by that, it doesn't just need to be lip service, or it doesn't just need to be something that you're doing because I have to do it. You know, let me ask you, do you have to do it? I think we just read a few passages that say, yes, you do. But if that's the only reason you're serving others, you're going to be miserable. And if that's the only reason you're serving others, I promise you they'll know. They'll know why you're doing it. They'll know the motives that are behind it. Those are the types of things that you can't really hide. So we're commanded to serve, but it needs to come from within. People know when you're not being genuine. You know, Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is as he's describing love, the love that we are to have for one another. He made the point there in that verse where he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I can give away everything that I have, but if it's not with love, it's worthless. That's the point that's being made there. So we need to work at making sure that we're serving others because that's what we really want to do. Even during the difficult times and so on. Another principle to give consideration to when it comes about serving others is realize that when you're serving others, what you're actually doing is serving God. Over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14 and verse 31, Solomon said, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he who honors him," that is, honors God, "has mercy on the needy." You want to honor God? You be merciful to others as you desire for your Father to be merciful to you. Over, when you think about this idea of how is it that when you serve others, you're serving God? Well, number one, you're doing what God says. You're obeying God. So you're serving God because He's told you to serve others and you're doing it. But number two, also you've got the fact that He knows what you're doing. And that goes back to what we read a few moments ago there in Matthew 25, 35 through 40. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. Oh Lord, we never saw you hungry. Yeah, but you took care of somebody else. And I noticed that. You know, He even goes as far as to tell us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 42, He who gives a cup of cold water in my name will not lose his reward. God takes note when you give somebody a cup of water. You're doing something for somebody else. So realize, when you're serving others, you're also serving God. But another consideration you might think about when you talk about serving others, what exactly can I do? Well, whatever you can do. You know, do what you're able to do. And the point is not everybody can't do everything. In fact, there's nobody that can do everything. Every one of us has limitations. Every one of us has abilities and we have disabilities or unable to do certain things. We've got our strengths and our weaknesses. You can do something that somebody else is not able to do. Therefore, do whatever it is that you are able to do. That's all God wants of you. He's not asking you to do the impossible. You go over to Romans chapter 12. And you find there in about, beginning in about verse number 6, where Paul says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us do it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Whatever it is you're able to do, do it. It's just that simple. That's what we can do. You know, what are some specific things that you can do? Well, somebody has a need. Here's the point. If somebody has a need, help them with that need. Bear one another's burdens is what Paul told the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 2. As you have opportunity, do good to all. I realize that text, if you look at the context, it's dealing with spiritually helping others, but the principle is there. You do good, as you have opportunity, help others. Especially your brethren. Serve is the point of that text. I'll tell you another way that you can serve, and you know, we talk about how when it's not easy, you can serve others by yielding. And when I say yield, I don't mean compromise the truth, but what I mean is you give way to somebody else. You know, kind of like when you're driving down on the 91 and somebody puts on their signal. You going to let them in? You know, that's yielding. You know, and how often do, you know, just look at that from a standpoint of serving others. You know, are we willing to let somebody else do what needs to be, or are we going to help somebody else do what they need? Rather than being selfish, say, no, I'm going to do what I want. That's the idea of yielding when you're thinking about others. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You think about others. You need to yield. Another thing that we can do is we can encourage. You know, you can be, people need to be encouraged. People need to be shown kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, where Paul starts describing this love, he says, love suffers long and is kind. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. We need to just treat others with kindness and you know, be an encouragement to others. Lift them up with whatever their needs are. Bear with the weaknesses of the weak. Romans 15:2. Just do good. Do whatever it is that you are able to do in dealing with others. Another way that you can help others is by standing up for them. You know, when somebody is doing something or saying the right time, the right thing, stand up for them. There's a lot of people who have to stand alone today because nobody will defend them. They're doing the right thing. They're standing up and they're fighting for the right thing. Will we stand with them? Or will we abandon them because it's just not easy? You know, when Jesus was facing trial, all his disciples had forsaken him. Peter, following at a distance, was watching the details, denies him over and over, three times, denies him. You know, stand up with somebody that's doing the right thing. Defend somebody that's doing the right thing and saying the right thing. That's a way that you can serve others. You know, just help people like that. That was Paul also in 2 Timothy 4. You know, he said, at his trial, no one stood with me. And by the way, in verse 17, he says, but I wasn't totally alone because the Lord did. He stood with me. The point is to stand up with others. And if you can't do anything else, ultimately what you can do is you can pray for somebody else. We need to be praying for all men, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and in verse number 1. So that's serving others. So someone asked the question, well, how am I shining my light when I serve? Well, let me just briefly mention these things as we wrap this lesson up. Number one, when you are serving others, it makes your faith real. And what I mean by that is when you are serving others, obeying the commands of God, people can see that God is real to you and that you care about God and you care about His will. You care about doing what He tells you to do. You know, again, go back to that James chapter 4, verse 18. Or two, verse 18. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my work. I will show you my faith in God. We let our light shine because people see that our faith is real. But in addition to that, it makes our faith practical. And what I mean by that is the idea is we show others that we really care about them, that we're genuinely interested in them. We're interested in them physically and we're interested in them spiritually. And that's the idea of you see them with a need and you help them with a need. You don't just pat them on the back and send them on their merry way. James said, or John said the same thing in 1 John 3. You help somebody that has a need. You cannot shut up your blessings to others and be pleasing to God. They need to know that you genuinely care about them. When we're letting our light shine, it makes our faith practical. Third, when we let our light shine, it causes others to glorify God. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Paul talks about how you are salt. Jesus talks about how you are salt and how you are light. And that means being an example. And in verse 16, he says, "You let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When your light is shining, it gives others an opportunity to glorify God. It brings others to the point of glorifying God. Which brings me to the last point. When we are letting our light shine by serving others, it can lead to opportunities to teach. We all have responsibilities to try and reach others, to give a defense for the hope that is in us. And it is a proven fact that the most effective way to reach others is through personal interaction. In other words, you're more likely to teach somebody that knows who you are because of what you do for them. When you're serving others, it can open doors to teach them the truth. And I want to tell you, that's just the simple truth. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the bottom line. So if we want to let our light shine, let's serve others. That's one thing that we can do. So let us resolve that we're going to strive to be the servants that God wants us to be, both to one another as brethren, as well as to those who are in the world. Think about it, and the lesson is yours. Open your songbook now, number 625. In just a moment, we're going to sing this song as at the conclusion of every service, we offer an invitation. Maybe there is somebody here who has yet to name the name of the Lord. If that be the case, we encourage you this morning to obey the gospel. Become a Christian. If you believe in Jesus, will you repent of your sins? Will you confess Him as the Son of God and as Lord? And will you be immersed, baptized, having your sins washed away? We are ready to help you with that if that is your need. Or maybe you are a child of God and you've wandered away from God and you have not lived the way that you ought to. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, we're told to go to God in prayer confessing our sins and He'll forgive us. Maybe there's something that needs to be publicly acknowledged. Or maybe you just need the prayers of the brethren in your repentance and in making yourself right. If that be your need, we give you opportunity. So whatever your need is, if you're subject to the invitation, why not now come forward as we stand?